Today is one of those days that we remember as a culture. I don't have to ask you what day it is. I look around and I see a lot of red. I don't know whether that has anything to do with Valentine's Day or not, but we're here to worship. In the next several weeks now, we will be moving toward Resurrection Sunday. You realize it's coming that soon? About 5 weeks. So we're going to be thinking some things to prepare us for sharing Jesus in those next several weeks. So that's where we'll be. Today, we'll be thinking about, if you look at your outline, by the way, if you haven't got your outline out, let me urge you to get the outline out of your bulletin and use it to follow along, because a lot of scripture references are on that. But entitled today, The Greatest of These is Love. In 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about a variety of things, what love is and how love behaves, and then it comes to say they abide faith, hope, love, but the greatest of these is love. We're talking about God's wonderful love. But sometimes we think of love only in human terms. When we were kids in high school, they used to have autograph books. Anybody remember autograph books? You had to get around and people would write a note on and write something special or some note and sign it. And you did those. Well, one of them that my wife has says, "Love is like a little lizard. It crawls into your heart and curls around your gizzard." I don't know that that's anything to do with love, but that was a pastor's wife who wrote that, by the way, in her autograph books, and that's been a lot of years ago. So when we think about love, I want us to think about love from the highest level of love, because love begins with God, right? The Bible describes God as love in 1 John and other passages of Scripture. So let's think about love from that viewpoint, from the very solid place. Because if you have God's love and you're walking in Christ's love, then the other elements of love fall into proper perspective. He'll help you have the love for one another, the love for a husband or a wife, the love for family, all those qualities. So the greatest of these is love. So if you've got your notes out, the first thing is, in order to live God's love, you need to receive God's love. Receive God's love. The Bible says in John 3:16 that God loves us. Anybody here know that verse? Well, let's see if we can say it together then. Ready? "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, your translation sort of word that differently, but we know what it means. So it's on the basis of that kind of love that we are thinking this morning about the greatest of these is love. So I need to receive that love, God's love. The scripture I've listed on your notes, the first one is, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." God's love is expressed how? How do we know God loves us? What's the number one issue or number one way we know God loves us? It's in Jesus, right? In the expression of Jesus Christ, His coming, living here in this world, going to the cross, dying, being raised again, ascended to heaven, and we know He's coming back. It's in that relationship of who He is that we know God's love. Aren't you glad to have the Jesus alive in the Bible to tell us about Jesus, because He makes God a whole lot more real, I guess, or more personal. We know that. So if I'm to receive God's love, it starts by receiving Jesus. It starts by opening my heart and life to Christ and admitting that I don't know Him. Without Him, I'm lost and I'm separated from God, and I need Jesus to save me. So we need to receive God's love initially, to accept Him as our own personal Lord and Savior, confessing our sin to Him and asking Him to save us. And He does. But let me think with you also, is that the only time I receive God's love? When I come to the point where I know I'm lost, I'm separated from God, I've sinned against Him, and I come and say, "God, would You save me?" and I receive His love, His grace in Christ, is that the only time I need to receive His love? Do I need to continue to receive His love? I need to continue to open my heart and say, "God, I realize You love me." One of the concerns I think that we deal with is that sometimes we don't feel very lovely. There are some days, well, I'll just speak for myself, I won't speak for you. There are some days when I get through, I don't feel like I did very good that day. So I didn't do very good things, and so I would feel I don't deserve to be loved today. Because I didn't make the grade, or I messed up, or I did something God didn't want me to do, or I failed. But I need to say, God, I receive your love even today. Even though I don't feel like it. Even though I don't feel like I earn it or deserve it. By the way, do you ever earn God's love? No. So what I'm suggesting is you not only receive him as Savior, but throughout the days and the weeks, and as you live and you realize, God loves me today, I accept that. I'm unworthy, I'm undeserved, but God loves me anyway. And I'm just going to, today, thank you, God, you love me. I receive your love. I'm going to let your love on me. I realize that some of us find that difficult, to let people love on us. Maybe background, I don't know. But to receive is sometimes difficult for us. We need to receive God's love. So if we're going to have love, and we're going to share love, it starts by receiving love, because you can only give what you got. The love that God's talking about can only happen when I've received the love in Jesus and I keep on receiving it, so that as he loves me and I receive him, let him work in me, then I've got love to give out. That's the only basis for it. So let's think about loving God and loving people. Jesus said, when asked about the greatest commandment, said what? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. So I'm going to combine those two in the next several things I'm going to look at. What does it mean to love God and love people? If you love God, really love God, do you love people too? If you love God, you're going to love people. Don't always like what they do, but you're going to love them like God loves them. Does God always like what you and I do? No. Does he love us anyway? Absolutely. So in the next several statements, I'm talking about because I love God, and out of loving for God, I love people. These are some things I want to be doing as an expression of that love. So the first one is, loving God and loving people means sharing Jesus. Loving God and loving people means sharing Jesus. The scripture passage from Acts chapter 8 has to do with Philip and the eunuch. If you're familiar with him going down and God leading him there to talk to this man about Jesus. And the man was in a chariot reading. And so let me just pick up this passage. It says, the place in the scriptures which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken away, and who will? For his life was taken away from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does a prophet say this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began to eat the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Fortunately, the man was reading a passage in Isaiah 53, which talks about Jesus. But as he was reading, the Bible says that Philip began at that scripture and preached what? Jesus. Now, what I want to remind us of is if I love God and love people, I want to share Jesus. If you love Jesus, you're going to want to talk about him. You want to share him. You want to make him known. And if you love people, you want them to know him. Because that's the most important thing in the world. Would you agree? The most important thing in the world for us is to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. So if I love Jesus, I want to share him. And if I love people, I want them to know him. So I preach Jesus to them. What I'm suggesting is because I love God and love people, I'm going to share Jesus with people. What I'm thinking about is that people need to know Jesus. Is he the Savior? We know that he is. He's the Lord. But sometimes when we get to talking to people, it's easy for us to get sidetracked on our church or on some other system or some other issue. Who is going to save people? Just Jesus. And can we talk about Jesus with an open heart and a willing mind and say, let me tell you about who Jesus is. Can you do that with confidence? Can you do that easily? You can just talk. Now, I know not everybody's going to believe what you talk to them about, but the message I need to give is to share Jesus, just Jesus. You don't need to know all the answers. You don't need all the systems. But I believe our world needs Jesus. And so when I think about loving God and loving people, it means I want to talk to them about who Jesus is, what he came to do, and how he lived, and what he can do in our life. It sounds very simple to us because we know it, but Jesus was born. He lived here in this world. He died on a cross for our sins. He was resurrected the third day. He's ascended to heaven. He's coming back. Is that a good message? Is that a key to who Jesus is? Can you tell that story? You can tell that. You can share that with anybody. Not everybody's going to perhaps believe you, but at least you can do that. So if I love people, I want them to know who Jesus is and talk about him. So I'm suggesting if I love God and love people, I'm going to talk to them about the person of Jesus Christ and who he is. There are other issues that may come up that may be important, but the number one issue is Jesus. My prayer is that I keep that in my mind. That's what I want them to know. I want them to know who he is and then to come to receive him by receiving his love. The next area is, loving God and people means praying that people receive Jesus. Loving God and people means praying that people will receive Jesus. Because I love God and I love people, I pray for them. But I pray that they will come to faith in Christ Jesus. The scripture passage says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for God, to God for them, is for their salvation." Does praying for people to be born again have any effect? Does it do any good to pray for whoever and to pray that they will come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? Absolutely. We can pray. The good news about praying for people is that it doesn't matter what's between them. It doesn't matter the mileage, how far apart. It doesn't matter whether they agree with you or not. It doesn't matter whether they let you into your house or not. When we pray for somebody who needs to know Jesus, God can go through all the walls, all the barriers, whatever, and get from you to that person, and you don't have to be there. Now, I'm not saying don't go, but I'm just saying loving people means, I'll pray that they will receive Jesus. Now, what I'm suggesting is, I can pray that all the people will be saved. But that probably is not going to work too well. But can I pray that John or Mary or Susan or Tom or, and I narrow down to a specific person. And I pray, God, here's somebody as far as I know who's living without you, who's going to die without you unless they're saved, who needs to know Jesus. I pray for them. How important is that? In that scripture that we quoted together at the beginning, it said, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish." You mean if a person doesn't believe in Jesus, they're going to perish? Is that critical? That a person who doesn't come to faith in Jesus Christ is going to perish. Thank you, Heidi. She's taking care of me. So, praying is important. Real prayer. I'm not talking about, Lord, so and so. I'm talking about waking up in the middle of the night and praying. I'm talking about they become an object of this is who I'm thinking about a lot, and I'm praying, God, here's this person. And as far as I know, they're lost. As far as I know, they don't know Jesus. And that means they're going to die without you, and they're going to go to hell. Lord, I want them to know you, and I want them to be saved. And I begin to bring them before the Lord. When I think about prayer, when you plant seed, what do you do? The first thing you do is dig up the soil. You prepare the whatever you're going to plant it in. I think prayer is sort of like preparing the soil. You're crying out, God, prepare that person's heart. Get them ready. And so I want to pray for them. I wonder if anybody prayed for you before you became a believer. Did anybody pray for you, suppose? I'm sure that somebody prayed for me. I'm sure my mom and dad prayed for me, among others. But I want to pray for them. So I'm going to say, God, because I love you and because I love people, I want to pray for their redemption. Some of you know about a man named George Mueller many years ago who served. But he said, in November, I began to pray for the conversion of 5 individuals. He said, I prayed every day without a single intermission. Wherever I was, however, no matter how I felt, I prayed for them, whether I was at home or out on the sea or wherever. 18 months passed before the first of those 5 were saved. I thanked God and prayed on for the others. 5 years elapsed, and the second was converted. I thanked God for the second, and I prayed on for the other 3, day by day. I continued to pray for them, and 6 years passed before the third was converted. I thanked God for the 3 and went on praying for the other 2. These 2 remain unconverted. 36 years later, he wrote that the other 2, sons of one of his friends, was still unconverted. He wrote, but I hope in God, I pray on, and I look for the answer. They are not converted yet, but they will be. 52 years after he began to pray, these 2 men were finally converted after he died. He understood that Jesus meant when he told his disciples that they should always pray and not give up. Folks, we need to pray for somebody. As long as that person is alive, there's hope that they will come to faith in Jesus. Sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we don't see anything happening. But we need to keep praying. God, save that person. Bring them to faith in Jesus. And that person will come. I had a lady whose mother in the church I last served who prayed 50 years for her husband. After 50 years, he was saved. Became a believer in Jesus. So don't give up. Let's pray. Pray for your family. Pray for your friends. Pray for those you know of. Because we're praying that God will do that. And so we say, God, because I love God and love people, I'm going to pray for their salvation. Pray for their change, that they will let the Lord change their heart. On the other side of your notes, loving God and people means serving both. Loving God and loving people means serving both. When you love God, you want to do things for Him. One of the things about Valentine's Day is, if you love somebody, what do? Anybody do any Valentine gifts? Anybody write a Valentine cards or something? Or you did something for them to say, we love you, we care about you, however you did that. So when I say I love God, that means I want to serve Him. I want to do something for Him and to serve Him. I'm convinced that the more I love God and the more I know God's love, the more I want to serve Him, and I'm glad to do so. It doesn't become a drudgery, it becomes a joy. And the more I love people, the more I want to serve them. The scripture passage says, for you are called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Through love serve one another. As we take the opportunity, say, God, I want this person to know Jesus. How can I do something to love them, to serve them, to let them know I care about them, to extend that love from God to other people by serving them, by helping them in some way? You remember in Matthew 25, Jesus talked about those who are going to be, he gathered around him. You remember one of the things he said to them? He said to them, I was sick and you what? You visited me. I was hungry and you fed me. I was in prison and you came to me. And he goes through the several things and they ask him the question, when did we do all of that? When did we serve you? When did we feed you? When did we visit you? And what did Jesus say? Inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me. So when you serve people, you're actually serving Jesus. And so because I love God and I love people, I want to serve them. I want to find ways that I can extend God's love by telling people in that serving process that you're important to me and I love you. Sometimes people think all we want is what we can get out of them. And we need to show them that we love them and want to help them. You see, if I want a person to be saved so I can get another notch on my Bible, they know that. But if they know I love them and I'm serving them because I care about their life and their soul, they listen to me differently. And so I'm saying, God, help me to learn to serve, that through love I serve other people. So Jesus said, the scripture said, that your whole law is fulfilled in one word, you love your neighbor as yourself. And so you say, God, because I love you, I want to serve you. How do I serve you? By serving other people, helping them, meeting their needs, encouraging them, whatever way I can, and letting them know I love them because I do something to let them know that. I read about a story about a man who lived in China who had rice paddies, which was common. But in order to get the water to his rice paddies, he used a pump that was like a bicycle that you pedaled, and it pumped water out of the canal into his rice fields. He had a neighbor who was a communist. He was a believer in Christ, but his neighbor is a communist. Well, he pumped the water in his rice field. But when he pumped the water in his rice fields, his neighbor would come and pull all the blocks out and let all the water out of his rice field into the neighbor's communist rice fields. Well, it began to bother him a lot. What was he going to do about that? So he decided that one day he'd do something different. So the next day he got up early and he went and pumped water in his neighbor's rice fields first and then pumped water in his own fields second. After a period of time, his communist friend became a believer in Jesus because of his service to him. People are looking for us to say, we care enough to do something for you. That may mean inviting them over for dinner. It may be taking them out, helping them do a project around the house. It may be taking care of their kids. It may be whatever. People notice it when you care about them enough to do something for them. And so what I'm saying is, we love God and love people enough that we serve them. We find ways to do that. Which means we'll have to be specific. What one person likes that somebody else may not like. So you got to find out the person. What do they like? Well, how can I help them? The next area is loving God. And people means I want people to have eternal life. Loving God and loving people means I want people to have eternal life. The scripture passage says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which you looked upon and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which is with the Father was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Christ Jesus. He said, we declare to you what we've seen and heard. John said, I've seen him. John knew Jesus. And he talked about that. But he said, I declare to you that eternal life, which was the Father manifested to us. Do you really want other people to have everlasting life? That's a good question. Now, I understand everybody's going to live forever. The scripture indicates we're all going to live forever somewhere. But the Bible uses the word eternal life in reference to knowing God and living eternity with God. Does it matter which one of those two places you're going to live in the future? Does it matter? Does it make any difference? I think it does. I think it makes a lot of difference. I'm convinced that in the throne of heaven, that our Lord, who sees everything and every person, never sits on the throne and sees somebody die and go to hell and sits on the throne and says, look, and he claps his hands because that person died and went to hell. You think God is ever happy about that? I don't think so. Can I be happy about it as well? See, my desire is, if the people I know, I want them to know Jesus Christ because He's the eternal one so that they can have eternal life and they know that they're going to go to heaven when they die. I think that's kind of important. Now, when I think about that, does receiving Jesus make any difference before I get to heaven? Or is it just I'm going to get my fire insurance so when I die I go to heaven and I don't have to worry about it? Don't have to go to hell. Receiving Jesus, helping a person receive Jesus, is good for the quality of their life today. It makes all the difference. you that are believers in Christ would say, your life is different because you've met Jesus. He changes your attitude, he changes your relationships, he changes how things deal. All of it is different because of Jesus. So it's not only that they get eternal life in the future, they get to have the life of Jesus today and live with him this day. Not only is it good for that, but your tomorrow, between now and when you go to heaven, is there any hope that Jesus gives you that when you wake up tomorrow that he's going to make a difference in how your life's going to be next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? You see, so when I want to talk about people having eternal life in Jesus, I'm not talking about only about the future. I'm talking about the present and the future in this world as well as the future that's coming. Because we're all going to die. Like it or not, we're all going to die unless Jesus comes. And he could come. I don't know about the coming time. But if he doesn't come, are you going to die physically? Your body going to die? You are. So what's going to happen when that body dies? Amen. But I want everybody else to know that. I have stood by the bedside of some people, as far as I know, who did not know Jesus. I'm going to tell you, it's a sad place and a sad moment when, as far as I know, that individual died and went to hell, didn't have eternal life with Jesus. I don't want that to happen. So if I love God and I love people, I want to invest in their life and point them to the eternal one, that they may have the eternal life in Christ that makes a difference today, tomorrow, and the eternity that's coming. Because eternal life is really the eternal one, is Jesus. As I already talked about, I've shared this before, but Jesus does not give us eternal life apart from himself. He doesn't say, here's eternal life, you can have it. No, you've heard, somebody's seen me do this before. But he puts eternal life in his son, Jesus. And he said, if you want eternal life, you've got to take the whole thing, which is Jesus. Jesus is the eternal one. He's the one that gives it. So when I have him, the eternal one, living in me, I have eternal life. And so my prayer is, and my desire is, that people know that when they leave here, they're going to live for Jesus. They're going to belong to Jesus forever. And so I say, I love people. And because I love the Lord who died on that cross, I love that Jesus who did it all, I want other people to know him too. Because I believe that every time a person believes in Jesus, the Father and the Son are delighted. In fact, the Bible says angels in heaven rejoice when one person believes in Jesus. I like to cause a lot of joy in heaven by sharing Christ with other people. So, loving God and loving people means I want them to have eternal life. The last thing in your notes, loving God and people means urging people to receive Jesus. Loving God and people means urging people to receive Jesus. It says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. The scripture says, it's actually, who's doing the appealing? Who's doing the begging? Who's doing the interceding? God in Christ through us is appealing to the rest of the world to come. This scripture passage, this translation says, we beg you, we urge you. How important is it that a person come to that place in Jesus? Now, I realize we're not talking about bombarding, we're not talking about twisting arms, we're not talking about pushing people. But is there a difference between that and sense of urgency? That we urge them to make this decision, this step. Because the sooner a person receives Jesus, the sooner their life moves into a better position now as well as the future. And you know as well as I do that we do not know how long God's going to give us life here on earth. Have you ever had a friend or somebody you knew, one day you saw them, the next day they were gone? They weren't here anymore. Physically, they were gone. I've had that happen to me in a time or two, and I wish I hadn't found out more clearly, did they know Jesus, because I didn't know. So there's an urgency. I want to urge people. Don't put this off. I realize there's a fine line between urgency and overbearing. We don't be overbearing, but there is a sense of urgency that people will come to faith in Jesus. He said, God is making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And so that's the greatest of these is love. What I'm suggesting is in all these areas, loving God and loving people means I receive His love. And because I receive His love, I want to share His love. I want to pray for people to be saved. I want to serve people so they know and care, they might have eternal life, that they might receive Jesus. Now, when you look at all this, the human side of us says, I can't do that. But is there anybody who can help you do this? Is there any power available that will enable us to do that? The power of Jesus Christ is available to all of us. So we may need to start praying, Lord, give me this kind of attitude. Give me this kind of heart. Give me this kind of love for you and love for people that causes me to move beyond my comfort zone to share you with someone else, that they may know Him who lives forever. Because this resurrection we're going to be talking about in a few weeks, this resurrected Jesus is here to talk to people, to bring new life to people, and we want them to know that. Now, in order to accomplish that, we're going to be doing a little bit different on the Sunday morning. So Ryan is going to come and encourage you about some things that in your bulletin, about doing something about some of the things we've talked about. So you need a mic. Somebody give me a mic on there.
Hello. You guys probably saw in your bulletins you have a little multicolored sheet. We tried to make it stand out a little bit so you'd look at it. I want you to pull that out, please. Pastor is starting to preach on something that we'd like to adopt and really challenge that each one of us would do. That front part, you see, it says My 3:16, and it has John 3:16 on the top. There's a way you can break down John 3:16 to think of a way that we can share Jesus with other people. The first part, it says, my. And it talks about taking it personally. I'd like you guys, if you want to accept this challenge this week, as you look at this and pray, put your name there. When we want to take ownership of something, we sign for it, right? I know I give papers out all the time to people and ask them to sign, and I love it because they care about their signatures. I was always, well, what is this? I'm not going to sign it till I know what it is. That's important, right? I'd encourage you to sign that. The three, I want you to think of three people that are lost that you can pray for. The one thing is one with whom I share or seek to share Jesus. Think of somebody and pray and ask the Lord, who do you want me to share Jesus with? That can be kind of scary when you think, oh, I've got to share with everybody. What if the Lord puts one person on your heart? But that's scary too, depending on who He tells you to share Jesus with. We're like, oh no, not that person. Yeah, sometimes it is. That's okay, because we're trusting that God's got this worked out. And then on the bottom there's six. Six ways I'll serve the three for whom I'm praying. Take a look for those three people and think of, and of course you don't have to limit it at six, but think of how you want to serve them and what you can do. Whether that can be acts of service, bringing food, praying, talking to them, smiling, anything that the Lord puts on your heart. Ask how you can serve those people. And I challenge you to keep this with you. That's why it's a little bit tougher. Take it with you. Keep it on your fridge. Put it in your car, someplace you're going to remember. Tuck it in your purse, wallet, pocket. Keep it around. Have it remind you of who you need to pray for. On the back, you'll also see a blank spot, what Jesus means to me. It wasn't just a clever title for the page. I'd encourage you, and I'm going to do this myself. Let's take a little bit of time to write what Jesus means to me, to take time to put it in your own words. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to preach and talk about sharing our testimony and our story. And this will be a thought of reflection for our own personal edification, of solidifying in our own hearts and minds of what Christ is to us, and to help us prepare to share that with others. Amen. All right. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you. Ryan prepared this, so I appreciate it. Let me ask you, is this important? Is this something we need to be doing? This is challenging for me. I'm saying, God, I'm going to accept that challenge. My prayer is that we as a body of believers will accept the challenge to move more and more. Maybe you already are, but maybe we can do this together. You believe, I believe, as we, as a group of believers, say, God, help us move in this direction. The Spirit of God will move in the hearts of people in a way we didn't know He's going to move. And He'll touch lives that we didn't know He's going to touch. Because I believe Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, we're going to celebrate in 5 weeks, wants people to know Him now. And so we're encouraging us to think about that. You pray about it, knowing He'll help you do it. You take it and do however God leads you to do that. Between you and Him, we're not going to check out and come back and say, you got to show us. But I encourage you to do that. Let me say to you today, if you don't know Jesus, He is here today by the power of His Spirit to receive you and to save you and forgive you right now. That Jesus I've talked about is right here through His Holy Spirit. If you'll receive Him, He'll forgive you, He'll save you, and He'll make you His right now. You can go home today knowing I belong to Jesus forever. You may feel led of the Lord to respond openly to this challenge. If so, in a moment when we sing our invitation hymn, you may want to come and say to Pastor Ryan and to me, I accept that challenge. I want to ask God to help me do that. That's between you and Jesus. You don't have to do it publicly. God's leading you to become a part of this church family. You want to join the church. I urge you to come and let me know, or let Pastor Ryan know. There may be other decisions, but you see, God's talking to us now. What we're going to do with it's the question. For me, or for you. Dear Lord, thank you for being here among us. Help us to take seriously.